This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, July 23rd, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, and then you add 48 after that. That's your responsibility.
That's right.
But the most important thing about today, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about, is it's a very big day in the history of this country. Peter Rosenberg, it's his birthday.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, America. Thank you, Michael. Thank
it's
you,
so
Don.
Big. It's big so 4-2. Big for so many people.
You know
are
what?
Now Jackie Robinson.
It is my Jackie Robinson birthday. That is correct. I'm currently checking to see if our hotel has the Yes Network, and I don't think it does, which is a shame because I'm in Stanford. But
I'm going to tell you a quick story about Peter before we get into this, Don.
Please.
So we've been texting a little bit. And you know that Peter is a guy who constantly has the phone in his hand. It's embedded in his wrist. Mm-hmm. He's on that phone more than I am. I've texted him really important things that need answers, and I get answers like 12, 14 hours later. It's a lack of respect that I have never, ever experienced. Am I right, Peter?
No, not at all. I respond to you as fast as anyone.
You asked me today, what's your address? I said, why? Still no answer. Why do you need my address?
I was thinking about
invited him over to my house, Don, because I know that he's not staying in his own home. He's in a hotel, so he's within driving distance of my house. I said, come over to the house. And he goes, he doesn't answer. And then like 10 hours later, he goes, well, will you be there on Saturday morning? I said, well, I leave at 1. I have a game. No answer.
Right.
Everything, I'm flying blind. Sully can't fly blind, Don. Sully needs coordinates.
So here's the problem. My response to you was before I was driving. Then I was driving, and I did not look at my phone because I'm a responsible driver. I just now saw that you gave me the address, and I just sent back the reason.
Because we want to stop by. Okay, I need times.
Well, do you want me to tell you on the air, or do you want me to tell you over text?
Tell me the time that you intend to come over tomorrow.
My intention would be after we get up and before you head to your game.
Oh, No. That's I need to nail it down. I need to tell Jody we've got to get food for you guys.
You don't have to get food for us.
And
of
also,
course.
They got to straighten up a little, no?
Well, most of the entertaining will be outside.
First of all, you don't have to do anything for us. And Natalie, of course, her first concern was, well, we can't come empty-handed. What are we going to bring? And I said, what do you bring to a family that has it all?
Well, you tell her to just bring a bikini because you guys will jump in the pool.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Natalie, did you bring a bathing suit? You didn't bring a bathing suit?
You freak. What a freak.
Well, by the way, I have bad news and good news.
Yeah.
The bad news is Natalie did not bring a bathing suit. The good news is I did. So I could dive right into that K-pool. How do you feel about 10:30 Eastern time tomorrow?
I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo. Why don't we kick it to 11?
All right, 11. Let's call it 11 right on the dot.
What time do you leave, Michael? The game's at 1.
The game's at 4 tomorrow.
Oh, who knows?
He leaves at 1.
Oh, you leave? Okay.
And if the game was at Yankee Stadium, I would leave earlier, but the game is in Fenway, and I'm driving to an empty Yankee Stadium, so I could leave later.
Yeah.
So you got plenty of time.
All right, let's lock in 11, birthday boy. What are you doing for your birthday today, by the way?
Well, I am sitting in a hotel room in Stamford, Connecticut, which is occupied by a lot of NBC staff for the Olympics. And tonight, Natalie and I are going to grab some pizza in Stamford. Got some recommendations for a delicious pizza place in Stamford. Going to grab a pie. And then I'm going to sit down and watch Friday Night SmackDown. And then I will be going to WWE Studios to record tonight's episode of Talking Smack.
Can I also give you a little bit of a recommendation?
Please.
In Stamford, there is an old-time, perfect Dairy Queen. And I think you deserve a blizzard on your birthday.
What makes it an old-time Dairy
Queen?
Oh,
because it's like it's a Dairy Queen from the 1950s.
Legit?
Yeah.
And wow, it's, Natalie,
it's
there's
great stuff.
Michael says there's an old-time from the 1950s Dairy Queen here.
You'll drive by it and you'll think you're going to see Richie Cunningham pop out.
Now, if it's that old-timey, then that means you should be able to purchase. There should be a window where you can purchase outside without having to go in.
That's exactly what it is, Don.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is, yeah.
Well, I love a blizzard. And I just my favorite thing about Dairy Queen is that at one point they declared, you know, our blizzards are so thick that we can turn them upside down.
Yes.
And that they stuck to that rule so passionately. You cannot order a blizzard without them turning it upside down.
This place does not turn the blizzard upside down.
No. I guarantee
nor
they
the one
do.
I go to.
Come on.
Nope, not once.
Wait.
Been there, done that. They don't need to do that.
Don, you go somewhat regularly to this Dairy Queen?
Yes.
And they don't turn the blizzard upside down?
Ever.
You should call headquarters. That's disgusting. That goes against everything Dairy Queen is. I'll ask our listeners right now. It's always turned upside down.
No, they don't do it. They don't need to show that. They don't need to flex.
Well, but
they do
advertise that it's free. If they don't do it, it's supposed to be free. Now, I don't want to be that guy to point it out, but they have to do it. Otherwise, it's free.
And, Michael, you of all people, if you don't get the upside down blizzard, Narcomania, you should be calling headquarters.
No, I'm fine.
Now, I just want to say one thing about this birthday.
Yeah.
And Don, I think you'll – no, Michael, you of all people should appreciate this the most. When my birthday got mentioned earlier, Ebro and Laura and Shawnee and everyone was really nice this morning about my birthday, as they always are. And at first I downplayed it, and I said, it's 42, who cares? But you know what? It's the birthdays like 42 you have to appreciate, because the big ones, the 45s, the 50s
– those hurt you.
They hurt. This is a great one. It doesn't hurt. It's a nice
no.
It's low in the decade. It's early 40s. I got to enjoy this one.
Yes.
That's why you go to Dairy Queen right now. Like Should you usually walk bare during a break, go to Dairy Queen.
I'm going to find out how far I am from this Dairy Queen right now.
If Dairy Queen married Burger King, wouldn't that be royal? Anyway, I've got gifts for you, Peter.
Okay.
Gift number 1 is because it's your birthday, we are going to allow you to drive any segment of the show with whatever you want to talk about.
Wow.
You choose the segment other than the 5 o'clock hour, because we're not ruining ratings for you. But you pick the segment, and you could talk about whatever. You could talk about Miss Hatton's paintings, her photography.
She doesn't paint. She
all right,
just
you could talk about her by a hot tub, whatever the case may be. Also, she has time before tomorrow. There's a lot of stores in Stanford. Get yourself a bikini. Put it on the K-tab. Anyway, I'm not a creepo. You're a creepo. So
well,
you
the record,
tell us right now, any because obviously ENN's your segment, but any other segment you want to drive, you could talk about the Washington football team. You could talk about Sidney Crosby, whatever you like.
Yeah, but you should really make it a 45 segment.
Don, sure.
No, we don't need top of the – we don't need an 18 minutes on
– all right, 45 segment.
Yeah.
Oh, Don, you know what? You make me sick, Don. Of all people, Michael is this benevolent, and you come in and cut me off at the knees? Wow.
I think Michael's still being very generous.
Yeah, that's not the point. The point is you
want to do a SmackDown segment, Michael, from 4:02 to 4:25, because that's what he'll do.
No, is that what you think I would do?
You're right.
Is that really? Is that what you think I do? And then, by the way, there's a topic today that I imagine you guys were going to hit anyway that does very much relate to the Washington football team.
All right, there you go. Tim Ramsdell, who listens to our show a lot, wants to remind you, Peter, that Elvis was 42 when he died.
What a bad guy.
Love Ramsdell. Okay, and here's the other gift. And this is the gift that will keep giving right into Drop Madness next year. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God. Go ahead.
Here we go. No. It's something that you'll laugh at. It's a gift of laughter. So I'm driving to work today. And, of course, I'm listening to the station. And I heard this, Peter. You ready? I heard this.
Mets begin a 10-game homestand tonight with 3 against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we welcome in a brand new player.
Against the Toronto Maple
right.
Leafs. He's so hockey drunk that he can't even get
well,
it right.
I'll tell you what, I don't even feel bad about it.
You should.
And no.
Now I see why you aren't on the top five. You shouldn't be on the top 20.
No, I'm awful. I told you that. It's a Hail Mary. You know, nobody ever designs a Hail Mary play.
Wait, why were you on the air?
Well, first of all, thanks for playing. Every day, not you, not Michael, we don't alternate. Every day, I record a minute teaser for the show. So at 1:30 every day it airs, kind of telling everybody what we're going to do that day. I do that.
So this was recorded?
So it's pre-recorded. So that what I did is I recorded it without Rich Hill, because Rich Hill, the deal didn't happen. Then I recorded a 30-minute game misconduct, which you can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
Previewing the draft today, going over the expansion draft, all the deals and everything. So I was in that hockey mode. And then Anthony says, do you want to redo the tease because the Mets got Rich Hill? So I said, yeah, I'll redo it. So I was in that hockey mode. I didn't have to do it. I could have said, no, you're lucky you got what you got. But I realized, no, we want to mention Rich Hill. So
let's
for the extra
again,
effort,
Peter,
for a little bit of effort, do I get any praise for that? No, I get killed because I said, Maple Leafs, you know what? I'm proud I did.
Let's hear it again. Even Barrett thinks this is terrible. Let's listen.
Mets begin a 10-game homestand tonight with three against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we welcome in a brand new player.
I mean, is Tavares starting today, Don?
In the end, it's my fault.
Andy taking responsibility.
Of course. I'm the one that has to put it together. I didn't cut it, so it's on me. So, Don, I apologize. I'll be better next time.
Don't apologize. I'm proud of it.
How are you proud of such a glaring mistake?
Because you make those mistakes.
And you know what? I'm not proud of them.
Well, listen, it happens. It's not the worst thing in the world.
No,
you know,
it's close to the worst
nobody died
during
surgery.
It's close to the worst thing in the world. Other than, like, dying, that's bad. For a broadcaster, you have the Mets playing the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight at Citi Field.
But people know I don't think the Maple Leafs are playing the Mets.
Well, in that moment you did.
It's just a brain cramp. No. That happens sometimes. It's not that, I really thought that the Toronto Blue Jays' real name was the Maple Leafs. No, that was not a mistake. It wasn't a mistake of ignorance. It was a mistake of just absent-mindedness at that particular point, which happens all the time. When you talk extemporaneously, that happens. Ask Peter.
Oh, don't bring
me
into
this. He knows penalties a helmet's not penalties a helmet, but it was a little bit of a brain cramp. That's all. He doesn't think a penalty is actually called a helmet, and then a helmet's actually called a penalty.
I don't know what he thinks. At that moment, he did.
I firmly believe that Don is aware that the Maple Leafs are a hockey team and the Blue Jays are a baseball team.
Let's listen, though, because he has the Mets playing them.
Mets begin a 10-game homestand tonight with three against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we welcome in a brand new player.
I'm worried about both the wiring of both of your brains.
I can't. You know how many mistakes? I don't know if Peter is willing to go there or agrees. That you make that we just don't say anything.
You say everything, but here's the problem I have with you.
Probably about half the time.
You're proud of a mistake?
Half the time we let it go.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Peter?
Listen, I'm not going to weigh in and beat Don up. This was your
birthday gift to laugh.
It was a beautiful gift that I will laugh at, and I'm enjoying it.
And you should.
And we should. Now, the only part here's the only issue I have with Don was that he wanted credit for updating the tease.
Right.
You don't really get the credit anymore when you say the baseball team's playing a hockey team. Rich Hill goes out the window at that point.
That's a bad hill to die on, Don.
No, but it was my second attempt. I didn't have – Anthony, did I have to redo it?
No, you didn't have to. And furthermore, I should listen. So, you know, it really is on me. Didn't we have – what was it, Bastion yesterday? Where we had to double-check, make sure that we had the name right?
Yeah.
I checked that. I didn't check this. Yeah. So, like I said, it's great. We have a drop, but I will be better next time.
It's not a big deal, Anthony. Don't worry about it.
It is a big
deal. I'm proud of it.
How are you proud of a mistake?
Because everybody makes
Brooks
them, and
Kreske
I own it.
It was a mistake of love. Is Brooks Kreske proud of four wild pitches yesterday?
So that's the same thing.
Well,
how he feels today is how I should feel. I'm sorry. I'm not going to feel that bad. To throw more wild pitches in an extra inning than anybody in the history of baseball, and I slip up Blue Jays and Maple Leafs in a tease? No, not the same thing.
Andrew, can we run it up the poll? Should Don be embarrassed about calling the Blue Jays the Maple Leafs. Can we put that in? And it's yes, no, and Kay's a bad guy. Please put that up there.
Yeah, we can. You want Kay's a bad guy as one of the options?
That has to be an option.
Okay.
Now, Ray Capp said, tell Don it's an 11-game homestand, not 10.
Well, there you go.
Is that true?
It was a complete mail-in by me. But the thing that I'm proud of is that this is something that really, honestly, we should alternate. But I do it every day. Every day I get on early, leave the kids to their own devices, disappear, come downstairs, and you know, record that minute tease. Not a big deal. All right? But do you do it? Does Peter do it?
But see, now, since we're really going, you know, shirtless here, the only reason you do it is it gives you more time on the air. I would not do it.
No, we know you're not going to do it.
You're the one who wanted the 2 o'clock hour. You!
Now we're really lifting. Now we're right, lifting things up.
Go ahead. Lift it. Show what color they are. Lift it so high. Are they red? Are they purple? Show them.
I know you, Don.
All right?
They're tidy whitey.
I thought that it would help. And apparently I was wrong. But I thought it would help. Wasn't out of a laziness. It wasn't out of anything I thought it would help.
Listen, of all the things I could say you are not lazy. You could be exhausted. You could be sleep deprived. And if you see a microphone, boom, you're on.
That's
you
right. You really think that I do that minute tease at 1:30?
Yes.
Because I'm addicted to being on the air.
Yes. Peter, you want to help me out here?
You know what? Listen, does Don like being on the air? Of course he does. He's a radio professional. Did he also, during this segment, negate my opportunity to lead a segment and kill me, knock me down to only four potential opportunities?
No,
because
as we continue to now we're taking the skirt off.
Lift it!
Michael's mood is very important, especially on a Friday. And I'm telling you, I'm just reading the room. Peter, if you decided to do 18 minutes on SmackDown, we'd lose Michael.
Oh,
so
on,
I was just
I
trying
that.
To be fair and say, well, look, Michael, it might be a good idea to give him a shorter segment.
Well, you're not worried about losing me. I mean, we're worried about losing audience. We want Peter to do something relevant that the audience.
Of course, I'm no dummy. I'm not gonna do a SmackDown segment. I have Talking Smack for that tonight, which you can watch on Peacock. So no, I understand the parameters, Don. You have a little faith in me. Come on, man.
But
you're feeding into the listeners.
Michael's not doing the minute. Michael's not doing anything extra.
That's right.
He wanted to have a medal ceremony yesterday for the fact that he technically can come on at 2:30 and doesn't.
Right.
So he's not doing the minute. And Peter, quite frankly, too, I love you to tears. We're lucky we get you for the meeting. So there's no way you're doing the minute. So So if it's going to get done, it has to be me.
That's fair. That's
and
fair.
It's not that big of a deal. But it should be alternated. And do I really give like an amazing effort? Apparently, according to that, no.
Let's
but it's just a minute to let everybody know what's coming up on the show. I did a quick count of how long the homestand was.
And you got that wrong. And then the opponent, you got that wrong. That's a bad thing. You
no,
can't be
know
proud of.
Taking on the Blue Jays. It just that was a brain cramp.
Did you know it was an 11-game homestand and not 10?
No, because I did the quick count, and I guess I miscounted.
Oh, boy. This is an awful
Did you know that
the
they
show.
Were even home?
Of course I knew they
did
were
Did you
home.
Even know they were playing the Blue Jays?
Yes, I did. I do
I don't know.
You
don't, we don't know
the
that.
Game.
We don't know that.
You know why you wouldn't know? Because I won't do that 1:30 tease. I refuse.
Right, so somebody had to do it, and it's a good idea.
Why does somebody have to do it?
Oh, you know what I missed? They've got a doubleheader Monday. I missed it, so it was originally a 10-game homestand, became an 11-game homestand. So that's why I missed it. There are reasons for it.
Everybody makes mistakes. I know that. But the fact that you will stand there and proudly hold your torch in the air and go, I'm proud of it, is somewhat disturbing.
I'm proud of everything that I do. I'm not going to be embarrassed by a little slip, a little mistake.
Of course you should be.
Well, Michael, this is the same man who, when he picks a game wrong in football, says he'd make the pick again.
Yeah.
Fix that!
Do you find that a little troubling?
Lift it!
No, it just means that just I'm owning what this is how life goes.
See, this
nobody
is why
bats
we
a thousand.
We should not have included K's a bad guy because that's winning overwhelmingly.
Is it really?
51% K's a bad guy. 25% Don should be embarrassed. 24% no, he shouldn't be.
Why would I be embarrassed? No, but all seriousness, obviously it's weird to be proud of it. But it's just because it was hockey. If I said Raptors, I'd be embarrassed. But I said, but because I'm a hockey guy, I'm not. I'm proud of it. But why should I be embarrassed? It's just a mistake. You can't bat 1,000, so you can't be proud of 950.
I'm embarrassed by mistakes I make. Every mistake I made, I'm embarrassed. I fixate on it.
Well, I'm not going to fixate on this. I'm sorry. I know why it happened. I was just talking about hockey. I did a quick minute. I misspoke. Happens.
You know, I could have done the last 18 minutes on SmackDown. It would have been tremendous.
By the way, the poll is up at TMKS ESPN on Twitter, so you could vote whether Don should be embarrassed by his mistake, he shouldn't be embarrassed, or I'm a bad guy. So we know what's going to win, but we're going to
But here's the important part. Take out Kay's a bad guy. It's irrelevant. Everyone thinks you're a bad guy. The bottom line is right now it's 28-22. Yes, he should be embarrassed over no. So remove yours, and you get to the meat of this argument.
I agree. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Obviously, we're going to do a deep dive on the Yankee game yesterday, what it means and what could have been done differently. But I do want to say, I thought the Rich Hill acquisition by the Mets is great. Rich Hill can pitch, man. Rich Hill's not going to give you 8 innings, but Rich Hill is crafty, second oldest player in baseball behind Albert Pujols. He knows what he's doing. It's a relatively cheap pickup. I think the Mets only have to assume like $800,000 in salary. They're $10 million under the tax, so they still have some maneuverability. Even if they want to pick up a big-time player that makes a lot of money, you're already halfway through the season anyway, so you could probably pick up that big-time player and still stay under the threshold. Now, everybody's saying they should go out and get a big-time pitcher, but I will tell you this. You know, one of the guys they're talking about is Kyle Gibson. Well, if you get Kyle Gibson, right, and all of the Met pitchers are healthy, which is a possibility as they go into the playoffs, Kyle Gibson doesn't start. So why are you going to invest that kind of money in a guy that has been pedestrian his whole career and has admittedly had a good season this year? Why would you do that? Rich Hill's the perfect acquisition because if, in fact, everybody's healthy, you get back Carrasco, you get back Syndergaard, the fact that DeGrom survives and he's healthy for the postseason, boom! Right there, Rich Hill works out of the bullpen. Hey. No harm, no foul. You gave up Tommy Hunter. I love this deal, Don.
Yeah, sometimes the deals that don't move the needle at the time are the perfect ones that help you make a run. I remember 2015, Michael, they picked up Addison Reed, and he became a huge factor out of the bullpen for them in their run to the World Series.
Good point.
Didn't move the needle, but he became a big-time player for them. So everybody wants the moon and the stars. Yeah, he's the second oldest player in Major League Baseball behind Albert Pujols, but he's a professional pitcher. And quite frankly, Michael, there's been times where they can't say they've had that as a starter with all these injuries and all these doubleheaders, all these games that they've had to play where they're starting openers that they don't really have a legit starter. There's a guy that's going to be able to do that for you and go right into the bullpen and pitch, you know, big-time spots in the playoffs if they're fortunate enough to make it, if everybody comes back healthy. The only thing that scares you is that the Rays usually win these deals. So don't be surprised if Tommy Hunter turns out to be a star. But now you're in a position where you got to give to get, and I thought that was a good get.
Now, on the flip side, the Rays get Nelson Cruz yesterday, and they gave up two really good pitching prospects. Cruz, the Yankees were in on Cruz. That's how valuable Cruz is considered. And, you know, Cruz would have had to play the outfield for the Yankees. Either he would have had to play left field or Stanton would have had to play left field, but they were in on him. And the Blue Jays made the trade. The Twins were crushed that they had to give this guy up. This guy was beloved in that room, but they're having a terrible season, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, and they could re-sign him. It could almost be the Chapman deal. But you might wonder, well, why would you give up Hill? Well, Tampa Bay took on all $6 million of Nelson Cruz's remaining salary. That's a big deal for Tampa Bay. They have a payroll of $67 million. So when they're taking on $6 million, That's a big deal. So by getting rid of Hill, because they do have young pitchers in the pipeline, they save $800,000. That's their margin of financial responsibility. All right, we're going to pick up six. We got to take some money away. So they deal Hill, who's pitched really well for them, just to get rid of that $800,000. And I think they might make another deal to clear more space. So that's why they deal Hill. And the Mets, they leapt in. They made a good deal. I'm telling you, Met fans, you're going to be happy with Rich Hill. He can pitch.
No, I like it.
He can pitch.
No, he definitely can.
Does this immediately change the Mets' odds in your mind, Michael?
I think the Mets' odds are 100% they're making the playoffs anyway. I don't think it makes them a contender to go to the World Series at this point. But I've said it over and over. The National League East is dreadful. They can't blow it.
Guys, you need arms. You just can't count on Syndergaard and Carrasco to come back. And even if they do, who else is going to get hurt? Right now, your ace is on the IL. It's always something. I need arms. I need professional pitchers. I'm tired of having, you know, no-name starting games. I'm tired of having openers because they just don't have the arms. Now this is another arm, a professional who has pitched in big games before. There's nothing ever wrong with that. So how much it changes the odds, I guess, depends on who's going to come back and who's not. But it's a nice arm to have.
It is amazing, though, that you know the Rays are battling for a division title and they gave away a valuable arm to save $800,000. That's why they did it. I'm telling you, that's why they did it. Not because they love them some Tommy Hunter. They did it for that money. All right, so we'll take a brief time out, and we really do have to do a deep dive on the Yankee game yesterday, because I know people are lined up and they just want to hammer away. And it's hard to fight, but I'll try to make the best defense on all the moves. And some of them are indefensible. I'll be honest with you. Some of them I don't agree with. So settle back. Happy birthday to Peter. We're so happy that he made 42. So that's kind of great. And he's going to pick one of the segments. He's going to pick one of the segments to drive. He's going to host the show. He's going to be the guy throwing the break, teasing, all that. And it's going to be his subject matter that he wants. But because Don has to put guardrails on it, it's got to be a 45 segment.
You could have said no.
No.
I just was making a suggestion.
You're just as much a boss of this show as I am.
Wow. See that, Don?
Yeah.
Look what you did.
That's a lie.
Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
So I'm driving to work today, and of course I'm listening to the station. And I heard this, Peter.
Mets begin a 10-game homestand tonight with three against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we welcome in a brand new player.
Against the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's so hockey drunk that he can't even get
it
right.
I'll tell you what, I don't even feel bad about it.
You should.
No.
Now I see why you weren't on the top five. You shouldn't be on the top 20.
No, I'm awful. I told you that. It's a Hail Mary. Nobody ever designs a Hail Mary.
I mean, is Tavares starting today, Don?
I'm proud of it.
How are you proud of such a glaring mistake?
Because you make those mistakes.
And you know what? I'm not proud of them.
The Michael K. Show.
The Yankees were in on Cruz, and the Blue Jays made the trade.
On 98.7 ESPN.
See, I made a mistake, too. I said the Blue Jays made the trade, so I'm embarrassed about that, Donnie. I'm embarrassed that I made that mistake.
But I'm not going to jump you for it. It happens.
No,
it's not a lack of education. It's not a lack of knowledge. It's just a brain cramp.
We're at the top level of broadcasting in New York City afternoon drive. We can't make mistakes like that.
Well,
and
we
when
can.
We do, we must be flogged.
Excuse me?
I'm not flogging you.
Excuse me
again?
All
right, so the poll has been up on TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Should Don be embarrassed for referring to the Blue Jays as the Maple Leafs? 31% say yes, 25% say no, and 44% say Kay's a bad guy.
So how do you take this, Michael?
He should be embarrassed.
That's right.
So you're embarrassed for what you did.
Of course I am. Yes.
I don't think you should be embarrassed. It's you misspoke. It happens.
I have many drops that I'm deeply embarrassed for.
Should be. Urgency, right? Not using a guy three games in a row. Urgency. I don't know what they're saving these guys for. They're letting their playoff chances slip away. And Joe Torre is in the Hall of Fame. And he's in the Hall of Fame because the Yankees won 4 World Championships with him at the helm. Now, of course, he had Mariano Rivera, and that helps. But the way he used his bullpen, I don't think he purposely got people hurt. But he used guys so much that they did end up getting hurt. Guys like Paul Quantrill and Tanyan Sturts. Because Joe Torre's job was to win games. And he used those guys when he had to use them. Now, is it cruel? No, it's not like beating a horse down the stretch. It's their job to come in and pitch. And I could see if all of this babying actually stopped injuries.
Right.
But it doesn't. They're going to get hurt anyway. So you might as well get what you can get out of them while they're healthy. You wouldn't use Chapman. Now, if you say yesterday Chapman was not available because of the nail, okay, I'll back off. But you said he had pitched 2 days in a row. I'm sorry. Yesterday's game was bigger than that. Look at the history of Mariano Rivera. He pitched 3 days in a row. I think 4 or 5 times in his career, it can be done. If it's a big moment and a big game, I'm sorry. Yesterday's game was a big game if you had hopes of winning the American League East. If Chapman was able to go yesterday, he's got to go.
Well, there's a level of arrogance here, or just complete ignorance. I'm sorry, being able to rest guys and having certain structures in place where you don't have a guy pitch 3 days in a row or X amount of innings, that's a luxury for teams that are either out of it or comfortably ahead. But when you're seeing a division slip away, you're barely above 500, you've got 4 games with the Boston Red Sox, you got to have a little wiggle room. You have to. Because like you said, what are you resting them for? Because if things continue to go the way they're going, maybe there's going to be meaningless games in September and everybody can rest because you're out of it. So, come on. These rules, it's a joke. I'm not saying you got to punish guys or, as you said, have a Paul Quantrill situation. But you can't have a little wiggle room in a huge game? Time's starting to run out, Michael. Eventually, you're going to have to rely on other people. You only have so many games left with the Red Sox. Eventually, you're going to get to the point where you're going to have less games than games behind, and then you're going to have help. Other people are going to have to beat the Red Sox for you.
I'd like to know one thing, though, Don. When does the urgency kick in? So it's not July 22nd. When is it urgent? They're 8 games back.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's either, is ignorance. They can't be ignorance. They know. They know how many games there are. I mean, the one thing about analytics, everything's already planned ahead. So it has to be the arrogance part of it. We know we're going to figure this out. And we know we're going to be there at the end of the season. We want everybody to be rested. What else could it be?
I don't know. As I said, I've defended Boone for a long time. But the one thing that I think is wrong is and I think this is organizational, the total intractability from deviating from the script. Oh, the performance staff says this guy's down today. Well, no, he's not. We need to win this game. He's not down today. At some point, Aaron Boone has to realize that if they don't win this year, if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to lose his job. So stand up and say, no, I disagree with you. Go down fighting and go, I've got to use Chapman today. Another stat that's amazing. The Yankees have lost 4 games this year where they've gone into the 9th inning with a 2-run or more lead. So the Yankees are now 50-45. If they had won those 4 games, and that's not being crazy. You're supposed to win games in the 9th inning that you lead by more than one. I mean, there'll be an occasional blown save, but you're not supposed to blow a save with more than a 2-run lead. They would be 54-41. How different would things be? They've had 4 heart-wrenching losses. The bullpen has always been the strength of this team. It's not this year. It's not. And as much as Jonathan Loaisiga has been great for them, I mean, not good, great, his removal for a 10-day stretch should not cripple them the way it has. Just shouldn't. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Rybrook. Mike, start it off.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Peter, happy birthday. Have an awesome
day. Hey, thank you, man.
And I've been to that Dairy Queen that Mike talked about earlier. You should absolutely go. You know, Stanford's such a big town, skyscrapers, whatever, and then that thing really does feel like it was completely displaced from the 1950s and stuck right in the middle of it. So you should definitely stop by if you can.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, of course. So you guys are spot on with everything you've been saying, you know, over the last few minutes. It just kind of feels like they're operating under the definition of insanity. They're doing the same thing over and over and over again, and resting players and using these scripts and everything, and it's not working. So at some point, and Michael, I think you just brought up a great point. If they don't make the playoffs, Boone's getting fired. So why not try to do something different? Because what's the worst that's going to happen?
I think that one day, Mike, I really truly believe this, and I think Boone is really in lockstep with all of the analytics stuff, but the way this team is run in such a strict manner, if he ends up losing his job, he's going to sit back and regret that he wasn't able to do everything the way his dad would have. He's going to regret it. Now, he'll tell me, this is the way I would manage the team, even if this wasn't really. Because the last couple of games with the team running and bunting and hitting runs and stuff like that, that's not part of the Yankee playbook. You've done that out of necessity. You've been able to flex your managerial muscles a bit. For the most part, everything is by the numbers. This guy's down today. He had pitched 2 days in a row, can't pitch three. Stop it. These are big games. Aroldis Chapman is a big man. You don't think he could pitch 3 games in a row? And you'd really rather go with Brooks Kreske than Justin Wilson? I know Wilson has come back from an IL stint. And again, the reasoning, he was a last chance yesterday because, you know, he had pitched a lot. Last chance for what? When Kreske wet the bed, Wilson never got in the game. And by the way, Kreske was sent down right after the game. See ya! So Kreske and Nelson and all these guys. And again, another black mark against the organization. You protected Kreske and Nelson. And you let Garrett Whitlock be exposed to the Rule 5 draft, and he's been outstanding for the Red Sox. That doesn't look good either. Now, Kreske and Nelson could end up being great pitchers. They're not this year. Whitlock has been a big part of what the Red Sox have done. That was a misstep. That's not Boone's fault, but that's a big misstep. You protect Kreske and Nelson, you didn't protect Whitlock. If I'm Hal Steinbrenner, I'm asking why. Why is Whitlock wearing a Red Sox uniform? Why is Whitlock not pitching for us? We drafted him. We paid for the surgery to his arm. Why is he not pitching for us? But again, I don't own the team. But that's a glaring mistake. It's right there every single time you play the Red Sox. Go to Papa Joe in New Jersey. Papa Joe.
Hey, Michael. Papa Joe, New Jersey, longtime Yankee fan. Couple of questions. Why would he take Sessa out after five pitches? Why not let him come out in the ninth? If he doesn't have it, then bring Green in. Green was getting lit up out there with line drives. It was obvious to everybody. Just pull him. He didn't have it. But my question is,
but wait,
why
one
do
minute.
You
wait,
think
wait,
he didn't
wait,
let
wait,
Sessa
wait, one
go
minute,
there
one
again?
Minute, one minute. I'll let you finish. Pull him. He struck out the first batter, then two singles, and then he got the second out on a fly ball to left. The damage was done with two outs by Hernandez. And if you once you go to Green, Papa Joe, then the next guy is Kreske. You'd rather have Kreske?
No, I wouldn't. But why bring Green? Why not just start the inning with Sessa?
No, I get it. That's a legitimate argument. But you can't say that you know, Green wasn't pitching well. You got to pull him right away. Pull him for what? For Brooks Kreske? Here's Aaron Boone yesterday. Why Green instead of sticking with Cessa?
I felt good about Greeny in a save situation tonight. So it was going to be Cessa there in the eighth. And remember, Cessa's coming off two days ago of throwing 30 pitches. So I was a little reluctant to throw him out for a second up.
See, now, if you had said, listen, Green was my closer, stop right there, that's great.
That's it.
Cessa had thrown 30 pitches 2 days ago. He threw five in the eighth inning.
Right.
And again, that can't be Aaron Boone. That's the performance staff. Well, this guy pitched 30 pitches, and, you can't get him up and down twice, just once. See, a five-pitch inning. He didn't break a sweat in the eighth inning.
This is where you get in trouble when you're Aaron Boone. If he just says, Green's my closer. My job today was to get to Green. Cessa did his job. There was never any intention of him pitching two innings. Green's my guy. That's it. But when you start throwing other reasons, Michael, it devalues the original reason and makes you wonder if it really was true. Because you throw Cessa, because he threw 30 pitches, whatever, 2 days ago. Well, how many pitches had Green thrown two, 3 days ago, right? Because he was off the day before, but I think he threw like a combined 60 pitches over the two outings before that. So why didn't that come into play with Green, but it came into play with Cessa? And he was dominant in the eighth inning. Again, he's like every other manager. They all do it. But here's the difference. If it's Mariano Rivera, if it's Billy Wagner, heck, if it's Trevor Hoffman, all right, I get it. He's your closer. Chad Green's only your closer is because Chapman's been ineffective, and so's Britton. I mean, where is Green in the pecking order anyway? If Britton was healthy, he'd probably be your backup to Chapman, not Green. So he was your closer that day, but it's not like he's been money. It's not like I got to go to my closer. But it wasn't the only reason. He started throwing other reasons.
Right.
When you start to lose the conviction in the manager, when you start throwing out multiple reasons. The first one would have been fine. Done. I might disagree with it, but hey, you had conviction. That's what you did. You lose me when you start throwing other reasons in.
I'm sorry. I've got to answer this clown on Twitter.
There we go.
Weingarten, okay? Once again, Michael Kay comes on the radio and tells Aaron Boone to stop being so scripted without mentioning Brian Cashman, who's really responsible for that move. Yankee boy protecting Cashman at all costs. Hey, you mental small fry. Who do you think scripts everything? Brian Cashman. I actually have to utter that name for you to know what we're referring to. Who's scripting it? Steven Spielberg? How dumb can you be? Call up. Don't stand behind Twitter. Call up right now, 1-800-919-376, you fool.
But
I'm saying that the Yankees are scripting things, who do you think is scripting him? He's the man behind the curtain. He's the Wizard of Oz. He's the guy who hired the performance people. He's the guy who hired all the analytic people. Who do you think we're blaming? How many times have I said on the air, you mental deficient person, that this is a poorly constructed team? Who do you think does it? Bob the Builder?
They want you to
say
the words.
Who do you think constructed the team? I've said the words, Don.
No. The words they want. Fire Boone. Fire Cashman. That's what they want to hear you say.
And then there's another one, another mentally deficient listener, Jeffrey Schreiber, who said, great point. Michael Kay can't face the facts up front. Do you people listen? Do you understand the English language? Or do you just hear what you want to hear? You have this filter in your head that you're hearing what you want to hear. If you don't know what we're referring to, then you're not that bright. NTB. Not that bright. Of course Brian Cashman is the one running this whole thing. It's not for Michael Kay to blame Brian Cashman. Hal Steinbrenner has to come to grips with it. If he thinks Brian Cashman's at fault, that's the guy who has to do it. You're going to listen to this radio show and say that I haven't blamed Brian Cashman? Then you don't know what you're talking about. You're not as smart as you think. Get off Twitter because you're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing your family and all your children that you one day might have.
It's giving him a lot of credit.
Well, he's got to get the Cheeto dust off his fingers before he can have kids.
I don't know if those things preclude each other, but so my question to you is, though, when is Aaron going to decide that the time is right to put down the paper and take a shot?
Never.
Because we've been waiting for it. It's never going to happen?
No, I don't. He's all in. He's not in for six. He's in for a dozen. He's all in. That's how he got the job. He's all in on this.
Well, it's going to be a bummer because he's going to be the sacrificial lamb for it. If it ends up not working out. By the way, Don, if you want a quick update, my naysayer negative prediction of these games with the Red Sox would get them nowhere. So far, they're what, more than halfway through?
Yeah,
just over half.
Rained out, so they're supposed to.
Yeah, so I think with the rain out.
Yeah.
And where are we?
We're halfway through.
And where are the Yankees?
Same spot. Where they started.
They're 2-2.
This one's a frustrating one. Also, I mean, correct. You know, I apologize because I'm not a baseball expert by any means. How bad is Kresge? Is that a feasible option to put out in a game like that at all?
Well, he'd won the game before. He actually pitched well.
So is
you'd rather have Kresge than Justin Wilson. Now, the reason that you have Justin Wilson and why am I losing his name? Don, the guy who throws sidearm that's out for the season.
For the
Darren O'Day.
Yeah.
Is because that's why the Red Sox have Ottavino. Because you wanted to clear his salary to sign those guys. So Justin Wilson has been on and off the IL, I understand, but he pitched okay the day before. You'd rather have Kresge in there than a somewhat, quote-unquote, tired Justin Wilson. It's mind-boggling.
Also, at what point, how many wild pitches are a point when you go, okay, we got to stop this now?
I think that the ball was rolling down the hill. There was they couldn't – he had to stay in for three batters. Yeah, so – he never got to the third batter won the game, Peter. So earliest you could make the move was Vasquez. You start with a runner at second. That's Devers. He's immediately wild pitched to third. And then he's a wild pitched home to tie the score. Then you walk Bogarts. He's wild pitched to second. He's wild pitched to third. And he's wild pitched home. No, he's wild pitched to third. And then he sacrificed home by Renfro with the fly ball to right.
Michael, by the way, who was a color commentator last night for the Red Sox on Nesson?
It's usually Remy or Eckersley. I don't know.
Who's like the more homery, reckless one?
Remy, right?
I guess
isn't
Remy.
It Remy? So I believe it's Remy. If Astros fans were mad by what you said the other day about the jersey coming off, Yankee fans, go look up the end of the Nesson call at last night's game. The level of laughing that they were doing at the Yankees for throwing that game away. By the way,
it's
so different.
Threw it away the day before. By the grace of God, they beat the Phillies. And you said it, Michael, going into the game, that they could be in a little trouble yesterday because of the bullpen situation.
Yeah.
That's why
was a lot of stress on Montgomery to go seven.
And that's why in that eighth inning, they should have played for a bigger inning. And hit for Montgomery? It's ridiculous.
There's people on social media that are defending the Odor bunt. And that's why I should control myself, because these people that have a keyboard, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the game. That is the diametric opposite of what you should be doing in that situation. You've already taken the lead. So why are you having Odor bunt? And when he got to the dugout, he actually ran around the bases as if he hit a home run and went to the Yankee dugout, and they were high-fiving him. They should have ignored him. And that people are defending it because, again, people are so drunk on bunts and stolen bases. I love bunts. I love it. I love it. Old-time baseball. Give me more. I'm really losing my mind. I'm glad it's a Friday. They love the bunt. And where are all the people? All of them. All of the people. Greg Allen. They should never remove him from the – He was 0 for 4 yesterday with two strikeouts. Now, I like Greg Allen because he gives them speed and he can play defense. I don't understand why he hasn't been up here earlier. But if you really thought he was going to hit 500 the rest of the way, there's a reason the guy has been given up on by two teams, and he's been in the minor leagues all year when a team desperately needed help. It's amazing how people fall in love so quickly if they're a baseball fan. In love so quickly. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, that's right. And today, on my birthday, July 23rd, it's not Rosenberg at late night. It's Rosenberg at 4:30. And by the way, Summer Fridays on the Case Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by New Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. And I'd like to start sort of like ENN, if you will, by saying good afternoon to Michael Kay.
They love the bunt!
And I'd also like to say good afternoon to Don.
Mets begin a 10-game homestand tonight with 3 against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we welcome in a brand new player.
Well, that is a fascinating, fascinating concept. So, guys, this is something I wanted to talk to you about since earlier today, and we haven't talked about it once off the air or on the air, so I'm excited to do it with everyone. And it is something that does, because it is my birthday, and you said I could do whatever I want.
Whatever you want.
It does relate to an interest of mine. But it is not a story about an interest of mine. It is a story about baseball. It is official. The Cleveland Indians will be the Cleveland Indians no more. After this season, the Cleveland Indians will be the Guardians. The Cleveland Guardians. It was announced in a video on Twitter by Tom Hanks. Now, I did see some conversation. I don't know how you guys felt about it. About while Hanks is great, was he the right choice?
Why was he the choice?
I don't know. Like, should it have been Charlie Sheen? Wild Thing?
Maybe Charlie's out of favor.
Yeah, he's a little toxic. A little toxic.
So this really solidified what I had already started to feel, which is if you're the Washington football team, or are there any other teams still remaining to make this decision?
I think the Braves are okay. What about the Chiefs?
They both refuse to change their name.
Right, for now. Because I've heard that. We've all heard that story before. So let's just start with Washington football then, a team that's already halfway down the road. People laugh. In fact, I had a conversation today with a friend who said, you know, at least Cleveland went with something. And I said, no. This solidified why Washington should just stay Washington football team. Because in my opinion, the name Guardians isn't terrible. It's just terrible because for the 42 years I've been on planet Earth, it's been the Cleveland Indians. And Guardian sounds ridiculous. Even if you pick a good name, I'm trying to think of a rebranding that's worked. The Wizards still sound like a joke over 20 years since they made the switch from the Bullets. I feel stronger than ever. I don't know how you guys feel, but I want to know that if I'm Washington, this just seals the deal. You stay Washington football team.
I disagree with you. I think it sounds so ridiculous. It's like they can't make a decision. They're in purgatory.
Is it worse than the Guardians?
The Guardians are a good name. I mean, there's no connection to the Indians whatsoever, and I'll learn to live with you. You root for your team. Now you just have another name to call them by. If it was the Washington Scouts, you wouldn't love them?
I would, but I kind of like this. Like, I think it sounds kind of cool. I think it works. It's not, as the Don drop so plainly states, it's not trying too hard, bro. It just is what it is. We had a nickname. Time went on. We realized that nickname was clearly offensive. We moved on from the nickname, and that's that. We're not going to pretend that we're something else because it's such an awkward, forced thing. Don, what do you say?
I really don't know how to feel about it because it's so odd. It puts you in a difficult spot. Now, nobody's going to feel sorry for Washington because they kind of put themselves in this situation. But they made the decision at a time where things were a lot different. It's hard to change midstream and anybody ever to be happy with it. Right? Because they're so used to how it's gone, and it's jarring. So I'm kind of with Peter. It's less jarring. Washington football team. That's what it
better
is. So anything you do, yeah, you might come up. Nobody's ever going to be able to come up with the name that everybody's going to agree upon. Right? So it's probably going to get panned. It's not going to make the people that loved the Redskins feel good. It's not going to make anybody feel great if they were married to, like, one particular name. And nobody seemed to be 80-90% in. Everybody was like all over the place with the name. So why not just own what it is? You're the Washington football team. Guardians is nice, Michael, but it's still, I don't know, it just doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit because it hasn't been there before.
I know. And when's it going to start to fit?
Probably when
honestly.
We're dead.
And that's what I'm saying. Because the Wizards still stinks.
It doesn't
and
fit.
Let's be, and Guardians isn't that far off from Wizards. It's totally random and sounds like a Marvel movie. Just like the Wizards. It's a silly... It just feels silly. And even though we can now all acknowledge that these names like Indians are obviously beyond silly, they're offensive. But still, because it had been there for a gazillion years, we'd all got used to it. To me, Don, it's the lesser of two evils. Like, new name or generic name, I think the lesser of two evils is generic name.
So you would rather they be called the Cleveland baseball team?
Well... I don't know that anymore because now Washington football team sort of has that's sort of their thing now.
Oh, so then
I don't know if it would work for another team.
Let me ask you this, Michael. It's a legitimate question. I think I know the answer, but I'm not sure. Was Tribe off the table?
Yeah, I think so.
I think these teams all did research and everyone said just stay away from it.
I actually give them credit, and I don't give Washington credit. I think that there is a Washington is paralyzed. They don't know where to go. So they're resting on this. Well, isn't it cool that it's Washington football team? They're just paralyzed. The Indians didn't paralyze themselves. Man, they changed the name.
Right.
And they did research. They had design companies come in. It wasn't done willy-nilly. And they said, we're going to change the name by 2022. And you know what they did? Washington seems paralyzed.
You know, Spiders, I think, would have been a better name because you probably could do a lot more with it. But the Guardians, it ends it with the same, like, four letters that Indians did.
Right.
So I think that probably tied into it as well. But I think the difference, Michael, I think the Indians will get away with it because they're never going to be the Cleveland Baseball Club. Right? They're going to be the Indians until the end of the season, then they're going to change to the Guardians.
They're not the Indians now. They're just Cleveland. I mean,
but I don't know. They are just Cleveland.
They're just Cleveland. But they are, I mean, I know they don't use Chief Wahoo on their hat anymore. It's just a C, a block C.
But it's going to be 2 years with the Washington football team. Where it's, so people have kind of gotten used to it. Again, it's not great, but it's not, I kind of understand where Peter's coming from. I do.
Don, Michael, I think you're right. They are paralyzed. They didn't make a decision. And now they're stuck, and it is a little bit awkward, even though Jason Wright, the team president, came out and said they are going to pick a new name.
But you know what this is about, Peter. You have an incredibly obstinate, stubborn little man who owns the team. He never wanted to take the name Redskins away, ever. He was forced to. That's why they're paralyzed. He doesn't want to change the name. Never did. How many years did he fight it, Peter?
For years.
It was finally the NFL that pushed him, right?
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, he did it to himself because he practically dared people to force him to change it.
And they did, and because sponsors started to pull out, that's why he had to change it. But you know what? In his mind, he probably thinks, I'm not changing it. I mean, it's not the Redskins anymore, but I'm not changing it.
I'm really
now,
the more
that's
I
the
think,
reasoning, I don't like it. That would upset me. If it's just him being a stubborn nozzle, I hate that. But as a fan, I will say I'm getting used to people saying WFT and Washington football team. I'm getting used to it much more easily than I would us becoming. They already ruled out the Warriors, which was the one name that I kind of gravitated towards because they don't want to do anything that's similar.
Yeah, anything that has any hint to Native Americans, that's why they didn't go Tribe. So you can't go Warriors. You can't go anything like that.
But here's where I'm really leaning again towards Peter, the more I think about it. You know, the name of a team is so important to the fan base. It's how you grew up. It's how you know the team, even more than the city they play in. If you're a Yankee fan, Yankees, that means something. Imagine if the Yankees had to change their name. Now, they probably would go with the Bombers because that's been a nickname of theirs that's been readily accepted. But if you don't have a nickname that you can fall back on, taking the name away is so jarring, nothing is ever going to be accepted.
Right, the Indians' name is a Tribe.
Right, so then they can't use that. But the Yankees could use the Bombers, the Mets could probably use the Maizens, something like that. But imagine, just put yourself, everybody could understand this conversation. Just picture your favorite team and the name being forced to change. What name could you possibly accept? So right. Since you're not going to be able to accept any name because it's so taken away from how you grew up, then why not just go with, all right, Washington football team? Took the name away. Nothing that you can replace it with is ever going to satisfy you. So isn't this the best alternative?
That's exactly where I'm coming from. Let's hear from a couple of the people, if you don't mind. 1-800-919-3776. We'll start with Dominic in Kenilworth. Dominic, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey there.
Yeah, I'm on the side of Peter over there. You look at all the soccer teams out in Europe, none of them have a nickname. It's all Milan FC, Manchester FC, it's all like that, and they don't have a nickname, and the fans are rapid. They get into their city more than they get into a team's name.
That's actually – thank you, Dominic. That's actually an interesting point, guys, that it is true. Like, Michael, to someone like you who sort of has these literal feelings on the team you should root for, it actually drives you more to really rooting for the place that it represents, not just an arbitrary mascot.
But, I mean, there's a business aspect to it, too. I mean, I don't know if they're selling that much, you know, swag with Washington football team. I mean, logos sell. They move merchandise, T-shirts, sweatshirts. Washington football team, I think the NFL is going to force them to have a name.
Now,
and by the way,
we did
find out why Tom Hanks. You ready?
Go ahead. Sure.
Actually a Cleveland sports fan. He started his career at the Great Lakes Shakespeare Festival, and he has always said that Cleveland shaped his career in life. And he also once referenced Brian Sipe during a Bosom Buddies episode.
Oh, my God. That's such a reach. It's ridiculous and embarrassing. He grew up in the Bay Area. He's known to be an A's fan.
Oh, really?
They did the documentary on the A's and Raiders for HBO. Do you remember that about 10 years ago?
He
voiced it prominently in that, how he was a kid going to Raider games and A's games. Listen, he might have an affinity for Cleveland, but that's an awful pull by them.
Who should it have been?
Drew Carey.
Well, he is.
Really
he's from Cleveland. He referenced when the Drew Carey show was based in Cleveland. They referenced Cleveland constantly. Now, is he as relevant as he was 20 years ago? But he's still a famous person.
He's pretty relevant hosting the Price is Right.
No, but I'm saying the Drew Carey show. He's one of the biggest comedians in the country.
But he's
Drew
not Carey as big a star. He's not as big a star as Tom Hanks.
No, but
I'd go Bone Thugs and Harmony.
They
Bone
forced
Thugs
Tom Hanks. Hanks is an A's fan and a Raider fan. He's an Oakland guy. He's a Bay Area guy. All right, so he spent some time in Cleveland. Big deal. And he referred to Brian Sipe in an episode of Bosom Buddies? That's not a reach? That's the definition of a reach.
No, that's a painful reach. Let's do one more. Dave on the Parkway. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Happy birthday, first of all. I hope you have a great birthday and have a nice weekend. I kind of like the name Cleveland Guardians. It's very 2021. Like you said, it's kind of like, sounds like a Marvel movie. It kind of works with the times. Some of these baseball teams, they kind of have silly names, like the Red Sox or the Black Sox, or even the Yankees. I love the Yankees, but it's kind of a silly name. So Guardian, I think, in all things considered, it's not a bad name, in my opinion. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up.
First of all, two things.
Why is Yankees a silly name?
First of all, I love Don. That was the most salient point, I think, on the call. But that's why it doesn't work to me. Because baseball names aren't like random high school mascot names. The Cleveland Guardians, you could picture just driving past a high school in Pennsylvania, and that's their mascot. That's not really what baseball's like. Almost none of the teams in Major League Baseball have a nickname that you see traditionally on other teams. By the way, Michael, you saw yesterday we talked about the upside-down hats.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Mina Kimes tweet.
It's so cool. I never even realized. Don,
Mina Kimes.
Go ahead.
Mina Kimes, who's a brilliant human being, tweeted out the Orioles upside-down cap. And she said, don't get me wrong, these new era upside-down caps are generally terrible. But the upside-down Oriole looks like it's just a bird with a sassy hairdo.
It really does.
And Don, did you look at it?
No, I gotta say it. Hold on,
Don, pull it up.
I'm gonna buy that hat now.
It makes the hat a winner.
Yep. So out of 30 hats, they lucked into one.
Well, listen, either way, get used to it. The Guardians it is, and my guess is the Washington football team it will be. Well, certainly for this year. We'll see if they actually are able to figure it out moving on after that. We have a whole lot more to do, guys, including more of your phone calls. We'll get back to the Yankees at 5 o'clock, a big ENN coming up at 6. It's the K-Show on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big 5 o'clock hour. Big 5 o'clock hour. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go into lineup mode. Let's start with the Met lineup as they face the Blue Jays / Maple Leafs tonight at Citi Field. Today's Met starting lineup is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Don, take it away.
All right, leading off and playing center field will be Brandon Nimmo. Batting second and playing first base, Pete Alonso. Batting third, playing left field, Dominic Smith. Batting cleanup and playing third, J.D. Davis. Batting fifth and playing right field, Michael Conforto. Catching and batting sixth will be James McCann. Playing shortstop and batting seventh will be Jonathan Villar. Batting eighth and playing second base will Luis Guillorme. And your pitcher batting ninth is Taylor McGill.
And that is the Mets starting lineup, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. The Yankees made some roster maneuvers prior to the game. Nestor Cortez and Jonathan Loaisiga have both been reinstated from the COVID-19 IL. That's good news. Transferred Darren O'Day to the 60-day IL. He's out for the remainder of the season. And they optioned Nick Nelson to AAA. Scranton Wilkes-Barre after last night also optioning Brooks Kreske to Scranton Wilkes-Barre. So that leads us into tonight's Yankees starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea, against the left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez. The Yankees will lead off the third baseman DJ LeMahieu. Giancarlo Stanton will be the DH. He'll bat second, hitting third. The second baseman, the great bunter, Rougned Odor. Gary Sanchez will catch. He'll clean up. Batting fifth is the shortstop, Gleyber Torres. Brett Gardner in center field will bat sixth. Batting seventh, playing first base, Chris Gittens. The left fielder is Ryan Lamar tonight. He'll bat eighth and batting ninth and playing right field, Greg Allen. And on the mound for the Yankees is Gerrit Cole. Very quietly, everybody. Nobody wants to really admit this. Gerrit Cole might win the Cy Young Award if he continues on this way. He's 10-4, 2.63 ERA. He has not allowed two earned runs, no more than two earned runs in 15 of his 19 starts. Yeah, he had those bad starts. We know that. He's turned it around. Turned it around. The last two starts have been very, very good, so we'll see exactly what he does tonight in a very big game for the Yankees, especially after last night's very brutal loss. That's today's Yankees starting lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Boy, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. People upset about the Yankee game last night. It comes down to this. Green didn't do his job, and the Yankees have not been able to put away big leads in the ninth inning. They have four blown leads of two or more runs in the ninth inning. That's the most of any team in baseball. Three other teams are tied for second with two. That's how unusual it is. Those three teams are Toronto. So it's the Maple Leafs, the Miami Marlins, and the Cincinnati Reds.
That's right.
So let's do the math here. This is easy math. The Yankees are five games over 500, and they're kind of looking way up at first place. If they convert those four saves, which are not like, well, anybody could blow saves. No one blows saves of two or more runs in the ninth inning. If they convert all four, they're 54-41. They're 13 games over instead of five over. Significant? I think it's significant. Their bullpen has been in shambles, and that's, I mean, we could talk about Odor's bunt, which we have a lot of today. We could talk about Green blowing the save, which we've said a lot of. But you got to get it done. He's actually been a very good relief pitcher. Now, two things jump out. He had that terrible outing against the Astros where he gave up the home run to Altuve. And then he had the terrible outing last night to blow the game. But it was still extra innings. The Yankees took the lead in the 10th. Brooks Christie with four wild pitches, which is a Yankee record. And the Yankee bullpen has been shoddy. Now they get Loaisiga today. But the one thing that I have the biggest problem with about last night's game is, why are we holding to such strict rules about you can't pitch 3 days in a row? What are you saving them for? What are you saving them for? It's like you know, the 93-year-old man that's holding on to the old bottle of wine, you know, the bottle of Rothschild wine. Well, what are you saving it for? You'll be dead soon. Pop that baby open, drink it. What are you saving these relievers for? So they're going to be nice and healthy and rested, and you might not make the playoffs. And I'm not saying do this in April, May, and June. But when you come into a game 7 games out of first place and you're playing the first place team in the first game of a 4-game set when you've won 4 games in a row shorthanded, this is the time to really, you know, take it by the throat and run with it and then get your regular players back and then run with it some more, and you won't go to Chapman for a 3rd straight game? Again, it's on Green. Green should be able to close that, but goodness gracious, I can't use Chapman. It's 3 days in a row. I can't use Britton. It's 3 days in a row. I can't use Sessa, not because Green's my closer, but because he threw 30-some-odd pitches a couple of games ago after throwing 5 in the 8th inning. So I don't even disagree with going to Green. I just disagree with the strict adherence to everything that the performance staff tells them. This is what we have to do. This guy's unavailable. You can't stretch this guy. Joe Torre stretched all the time. And you know what he has to show for it? A plaque in Cooperstown in 4 World Series. At some point, I think July 22nd, when you're 8 games out, is kind of a good time to push a reliever.
Because what are the analytic people going to tell you? The reasoning for resting players is because you want them for the long haul. But right now, Michael, being 8 games back of the Red Sox and only having a handful of games left with them, you got to throw that out the window. You're playing the team you're chasing right now. You're a week away from the trading deadline to find out exactly what you are as a team. So I'm sorry, you don't have the luxury of saying, well, we want to have these guys fresh in September. What good September going to be if you're 15 games out?
September is nothing but the leaves changing if you're 15 games out. Now, the Yankees still have a more than a puncher's chance to get the wild card. But if you go into Boston and you split a 4-game set, your chances of getting first place is probably not good. That's why one of the most famous sweeps by the Yankees, the Boston Massacre, they had to make up a lot of ground. They went into Boston, they won 4 games. Now, you can tell me, well, there were great players on that team. I get it. The Yankees are shorthanded right now. But you had the lead. You had a 3-1 lead in the 9th inning.
Yeah, see, you can't, because 9-4 is a really nice record over the last 13 games. But two of those losses, you blew a 7-2 lead in the 9th inning and a 3-1 lead in the 9th inning. You can't have that when you're trying to make up a lot of ground. They really should be 11-2 over their last 13 games. And the other two losses, Michael, they were nowhere in the first game of the Red Sox series at the stadium and got one hit by Seattle. So even in your 4 losses, you shouldn't even have those.
It's unbelievable. Last night was a tough one to digest. And you could even hear it in Boone's voice.
Well, now you got to win 3 in a row.
Right. If you're going to make this, if you're going to make the series count. No, right, you got the right pitcher going tonight. But if you're going to make the series count, you got to win three in a row.
Well, you would think you got the right pitcher going tonight. But what's their record when Cole pitches?
Yeah, he hasn't been the right pitcher for the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks now?
Oh, no, the last 2 starts, he's been great.
No, he's been great, but the fact is they seem to lose when he's on the mound, whether the bullpen gives it up or they don't score for him. Now, he was brilliant his last couple, but, Michael, they were under 500 as a team in games that he pitched, and it wasn't all his fault. You know, you can only do what you can do. I mean, you could pitch a gem and be tied at 1 going to the 9th inning. But even if you win tonight, if you had won last night, then you've got a chance at another. Now you're almost guaranteed at least a split. But now to win the series, you got to win 3 in a row. And you're starting to run out of road here. Tonight's game number 96.
Now, our very own Buster Only texted me last night that the Yankees are in on Trevor Story, which I find amazing.
Yeah.
And John Heyman just doubled down and said the Yankees do have... What was that?
That was Buster.
That was Buster.
Yankees do have interest in Trevor Story. They would move Torres to second, LeMahieu to first. Voit could DH, assuming Stanton can play the outfield. So that means Stanton's got to play the outfield every day. And John writes, probably close to goes to close to deadline, but Story unlikely to sign long term, making trade somewhere very logical and probably likely. Well, here's what I would say about that. I don't know if you guys agree with me. Trevor Story's a good player. He's not having a good year, but he's a good player. So you're gonna acquire him. The Rockies are not going to give him up for nothing because the Rockies have said, you know what? We'll just tender him an offer and we'll get a first-round draft pick for him. We're not going to give him away for nothing.
Right.
Now, he said he's not going to sign in Colorado, so they know that. So they're probably going to trade. You're going to give up a lot of your capital to get Trevor Story. You think Trevor Story is going to accept much less than what Francisco Lindor got? So you're willing to pay Trevor Story close to $30 million a year at the end of the year, and if you're not, then you're just acquiring him for what? For 2 months? And you're going to give up a lot for 2 months? I don't know about this, man.
Well, 2 months, Michael, and they could be, you know,
out of it.
You know, 7-8 games back of first place. Now, I understand wild card teams win championships, but you know, you're not exactly assuring yourself of anything getting him. And then if he walks in free agency, well, they must have a higher opinion of this team than I do.
And if you have to give up, I mean, I've heard like, you know, teams are asking the Yankees for Anthony Volpe. Well, he was their first-round draft pick last year. He's tearing it up in the minor leagues this year. He's a local kid from Del Barton, the same school that Jack Leiter went to. In fact, they're best buddies. You're going to trade that guy away? Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be in the Story deal. And maybe the Yankees get Story from the Rockies for nothing, for low-level minor leaguers that are 5-6 years away. Maybe. But if you've got to give up something of significance, then you put yourself in the same position that Steve Cohen did with Lindor. The Mets gave up two really good shortstops, two really good athletes, four players in all for Lindor, and they had to sign him. He had him over the barrel. So it's a 10-year deal for $34 million, I mean, a year. Is that what you're going to pay Trevor Story? Well, I'll tell you what. If you do that and you get Trevor Story and you're going to pay him all that money to keep him, you're not signing Aaron Judge. You're not. Unless you can get rid of Stanton, and you're not going to be able to get rid of Stanton. So that would mean that you'd have Cole at $36 million, Stanton at $24 million after you kick in what the Marlins pay, and then Trevor Story? Are you sure Trevor Story is that guy? That's what I want to know. Because you could get Trevor Story as a free agent. You could get Carlos Correa as a free agent. You could get Javi Baez as a free agent. There are guys out there that you could get as free agents at the end of the year. The only reason you make this deal, as Don said, is you really think you're going to make a run? You think Trevor Story is the answer when the question has been, why can't the Yankee bullpen close games? Getting Trevor Story does move Gleyber Torres to his better position, but you're losing either Stanton or Voit because LeMahieu becomes an everyday first baseman. Another thing, if you keep Story long-term, and you keep Torres long-term, then for the last 5 years of his deal, DJ LeMahieu is the first baseman. Now, does he fit the profile of a first baseman? 35, 40 home runs? No. So Story better be that good. And again, if you get him for lower-level minors that you don't really have that much interest in, that's fine. Do it. Good two-month run. And then, you know, you certainly have an advantage as a free agent suitor because he's been here. He might like it. But you're still going to have to pay top dollar. He's not taking that much less money than Lindor made. I'm sorry. They all have a lot of ego, and they also have a lot of union guys pushing them that, you know, you can't lower the value of shortstops.
And again, I hate to be this guy, but take a look at the splits. He's a 302 hitter at home, 243 on the road. 90 home runs at home, 55 on the road. 263 RBIs at home, 155 on the road. So be careful. Again, I think he's a terrific player, Michael. But you always got to be careful with the splits from somebody coming from Colorado.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I give them credit. This team never gives in. This organization never gives up.
That's why blowing it up and rebuilding is never even on the table.
Never.
Ever.
Good news on Corey Kluber. He threw 20 fastballs from the mound today. He said he has not yet started to think about a potential return date. Just wants to take it a day at a time. Don't we all? According to Brian Hoke, who covers the Yankees for MLB.com, Miguel Andujar, with a wrist problem, had a setback, is receiving another injection. Aaron Boone said he's hopeful it won't be a long-term situation. Wow. A lot of stuff going on. Summer Fridays with the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by New Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. You know, Don, so I joked about the mistake you made at 1:30, and I called the Toronto Blue Jays the Maple Leafs, and that's the first time a person was listening to the show and now thinks that I made a glaring error. So right. You really have to watch out. You almost have to, this is the reason I'm making fun, because this happened at 1:30. People, you have to listen for all 4.5 hours. You miss a minute, you miss a lot.
It's a great point. Who thought that?
Well, a caller, a listener on Twitter. Did Kay just say Maple Leafs? Doesn't he know it's the Blue Jays? No, I don't.
Oh, Lord.
Now,
by the way, good suggestion for the Cleveland name announce.
Okay.
Cleveland native, Halle Berry.
Would have got my attention.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a win.
Very quickly about the Mets, they acquired Rich Hill today. And we mentioned this earlier, so obviously this is for that guy who thinks I made the mistake. I love this deal for the Mets. Don't like it. Love it. They gave up Tommy Hunter. I don't know if the Tampa Bay Rays can work their magic pixie dust on him and make him great. But even if they do, so what? The Mets weren't going to. This is a good pickup, man, because even if you get all of your pitchers back, Rich Hill could pitch out of the bullpen. He's savvy. He's smart. He knows how to pitch. New York is not going to fluster him at all. He was a Yankee for a little bit. This guy could pitch. Look at his numbers over the last couple of years. Look at what he's done with Tampa Bay this year. The only reason they got rid of him is to save some money after acquiring Nelson Cruz yesterday. So they had to pick up $6 million for Cruz, and this takes away $800,000 that he has remaining on his contract. This is a great move for the Mets, Don, because now they have a lot of maneuverability to make other moves to get a big guy back.
And you take a look at this series against the Blue Jays, right? They got Walker going tomorrow. Tonight, they've got McGill. But then after that, you know, to be announced on Sunday, to be announced in the doubleheader coming up on Monday, right? You don't know who's going to pitch for you. Rich Hill's a guy that's going to slide right in as your fourth starter. And if Syndergaard and Carrasco come back, great, he moves to the bullpen. He's going to gobble up innings, and with all the games that the Mets are going to have to play, and I still think there's going to be meaningful games for them. They've got a 4-game lead. I think they're winning this division, but they still got to solidify that, because we don't know what the Phillies, Braves, and Nationals are going to do at the deadline next week. No, this is a great move, Michael. It really is.
I like it a lot. You know what I don't like a lot of?
What's that?
You see the Buccaneers Super Bowl ring?
No.
In a word, ostentatious. You can't wear it. It's like wearing a hubcap on your finger. Tom Brady, I mean,
Super Bowl rings
sick.
The Super Bowl rings are rarely low key.
I get it, but now they every single one is trying to top the other one. Again, this looks like a hubcap.
But you want to be able to wear it out, Peter, on that rare occasion, you know, weddings, certain engagements that you want to make sure you wear it. You can't have something that's going to break your finger off.
Yeah, it has to be wearable on some level, yes.
Some level.
Now, we mentioned the Rays getting Cruz, Nelson Cruz. Aaron Boone called him, quote, a wrecking machine with lethal right-handed power. And he said that Cruz going to the Rays, and this is from Marley Rivera, makes a tough team even tougher. Now, I said this earlier. The Yankees were in on him. And so if they were in on him, then either he or Stanton would have had to be an everyday left fielder. I guess he was willing to do that.
Well, it certainly puts pressure on the Red Sox, Yankees, and Blue Jays, right? Because that's only one of the teams the Yankees are chasing after.
Yeah.
They did pass the Blue Jays.
Are you okay, Don?
What do you keep asking? What am I supposed to do? I got antibiotics
in
me.
I don't want to disparage urgent care, but you didn't exactly go to, like, the Cleveland Clinic. You went to urgent care.
And, you know, you did once have strong feelings about your urgent care doctor, if I recall.
Yes.
No, that was taken out of context.
Oh, really? Well,
I'd like to know what the
context. Why do Peter and I remember differently?
My urgent care doctor's a quack.
No, it was, I forget what I was saying, but I was that was not specific to anybody. And I went to a different urgent care just in case. And it was tremendous. It was a great experience.
But don't you have a real, not that they're fake doctors, but don't you have a family doctor?
No, I do.
Well, then what are you going to urgent care for?
Because, the reason you go to urgent care, Michael, is it's urgent. Right?
You've been
I get off the air at 6:30. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how urgent? Don,
how
been
urgent
you.
Could it be? You've been hacking for 3 months.
I know, but I finally had enough, and I was even explaining to the doctor, Dr. Perlman, his name was.
Oh,
that
sounds good.
Good writer, Jeff Perlman.
That I, I was just trying to shut everybody up at work because everybody's driving me crazy about all the coughing that I'm doing. But so I decided to go at 6:30. Dr. Selk is my family practitioner. And obviously, 6:30, she's home. She's having dinner with her family. So I didn't want to wait till the next day. I wanted to go.
Finally.
Just to be able to get some antibiotics. I wasn't really looking to get diagnosed. I knew that I was okay. I just
How do
wanted
you know?
To get.
Peter, what do you call a word that's spelled differently, has a different meaning, but sounds the same? Is it an antonym or a synonym?
Wait, it's they are the same meaning or different meaning?
Different meaning, spelled differently, sound the same. Because I'm saying coffin sounds a lot like coffin.
Again, now you're rooting for that to happen.
I am
just
not
to say
rooting.
That you're right. Gather
Why
around
you,
my
you
family or the
when
wake you probably
that.
Won't attend.
You hurt
Let's
me.
Let's face
when
it,
you
during COVID,
that.
You're not attending my wake. You'll send flowers and you might have a note that in
oh,
code will say, I told you so.
Unbelievable spray. You know what it'd be? It would be the Giant and Met logo in a spray of roses.
Isn't it interesting, Peter? He didn't
That's
deny
beautiful.
The fact he's not going.
No, I
would
he
go. Has to, no,
I
you
would,
have to.
Of course I would go.
It's too late. I just want to say this right now. I'm no authority except I'm every authority. As of July 23rd, it is too late. It's too far along to skip a funeral just because of COVID.
Yeah, I'll be there, Don. I'll be masked right. up, but I'll
well,
be
let's,
there.
Well, listen.
Let's hope I don't have to make the decision because I
love
you.
I've had Dr. Max April working on this for me. I went to the urgent care so I can get an antibiotic.
Would you get
and,
a little
and some cough medicine,
little
but
Z-pack?
I just got it today because I didn't go to the pharmacy after because I was after 9 o'clock, so I got up early this morning and I'm just working on this. Everything's gonna be fine Monday, and you're gonna be a rumor Monday anyway. So what does it matter?
Well, I'll be back Tuesday though. Congratulations to Alan Lopez from Uniondale. He just won the Beach Bass VIP passes, so we look forward to seeing you there, Alan. Please come by, give us a hug. Well,
right.
maybe
as long
not
as my wake isn't the same day, I'll be there as well.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the Pepe Auto Group. I love those people. Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. There it is again. A proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. I will tell you one thing that Don's right about. This is a professional organization. It's ESPN. It's the worldwide leader. Rodney, get off your backside and install a cough button for this guy.
Well, they got the cough button.
Well, what
they gave
happened?
It to Andrew.
Well, is Andrew going to go to your house to install the cough button?
Yeah, where are we at that?
Wait.
We're staring at it. It's here.
Andrew, what do you have in your possession, Andrew?
So just today, I was given the physical cough button. We had to find out if Don has mic cables to hook it up. I asked him, two breaks ago? He says he does. So hopefully we'll be able to send this to him, and maybe you can have it by Monday.
So
they're telling me the word is hominin.
Oh,
coffin. COUGHINCOFFIN.
We've moved on. So,
and also, it's not one.
Wait, hold on.
Coffin
we have
and
to now
coughing.
We're way past the clock time.
We have to root for Don's cough. We got to root for your cough to continue into next week to at least take advantage of this cough button.
Yeah, well, listen, I hear you guys coughing too. Peter's been coughing.
No, that was Rocky.
There are some teams, by the way, getting back to the story, that are thinking about moving the story to center field. So if the Yankees are that team that they think that that's where he would end up, well, I guess that the rest of Aaron Hicks' contract then is just a complete wash.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a lot to talk about. Yeah.
What the hell was that? You know what?
He's on fire today.
Let's do more on the story after the commercial. You know what I mean?
All right, let's do that. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.